Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the call.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Tide Bubba Horowitz with you, and what's going on? Well, the college basketball tournaments were exciting. That was going on. And, of course, I guess the jobs number was pretty exciting on Friday. We had a pretty big beat. But I think if you look inside the numbers, kind of like a sports thing, inside the numbers, they weren't as good as one might thought, which is, I think, one of the reasons we saw such a big rally is because I think the street believes that our friends from the Federal Reserve are going to hang around for a little longer and continue to try to suppress and keep dollars cheaper and keep interest rates low. When you looked at the wage growth, it wasn't very good. In fact, it was down from last month. So, you know, maybe we've got a situation here. And again, you know, it's not something that that we, you know, look at from, you know, not trying to look for problems. But again, you know, if we truly have this massive amount of growth we're supposed to have, you would think that we could see higher interest rates. You would think that things would be a little bit smoother, but I don't think that we really see that. I think that's more of a mirage. Kind of like the markets are right now. You know, we continue to push higher. And again, I'm not telling you they're not going to go even higher than they are now. This is one of the things that we always have to focus on is, you know, not fighting against the market. Now we've now come to a key level, okay, that simply dictates, okay, is the top in, or are they going to make new highs? And from my standpoint, I can't really say. I mean, we're at resistance. It's done basically what we thought it would do. We've had some pretty big sell-offs, you know, based on the Trump tariffs, based on the Gary Cohn resignation. But they've always come back. So here we are swinging around in a wide consolidation pattern. And now we're back at the top end of the range. Now, if we break out, you know, we already saw the NASDAQ on Friday make new highs. So if we break out, well, can we see brand new highs? And certainly that is not out of the question. New highs could certainly be made in the market. You know, again, it would surprise me a little bit from here. But certainly I couldn't tell you that it wasn't going to get there. I think you have to, you know, look at it and determine you know, what is next. And, you know, again, one thing about the market and one thing about the economy, they are not related, basically. You can listen to people that tell you that they're related, but they're really not related. And so that's where we have to, you know, decide and look at the overall big picture. And if indeed that, you know, we do break out to the upside, hey, you know, listen, the sky is the limit. There are many out there that think we can get to 3,200 S&P. I mean, you know, again, eventually, I don't think on this particular move, after we just celebrated our 9-year anniversary of this bull market. But could it get there? Yeah, 100%. I mean, again, there's no way to determine. But I think that, you know, you look at the picture and you say, okay, what is going to get us there? And, you know, the excitement we've had, you know, you've had the NASDAQ again. You look at Amazon, it just goes ganging up every day. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the 90s, you know. And again, it took a while from when, you know, the top could have been in to when it actually fell apart. You know, and again, this will tie back into interest rates. This will tie back into the dollar. And, you know, if we look at things, you know, I think you're seeing Gold starting to struggle a little bit. I think you're seeing oil. You know, oil did get under 60 last week for a moment and did rally on Friday. But the bonds are telling us that, you know, there's a message being sent there. And do you really think that a lot of these people that have money in the market are going to want to stay in the market if interest rates go over 3% in the 10-year? And I mean, I don't know the answer, but I would think there's a lot of people in there that would like to get out and take whatever profits they've made, if they've made profits, and go back into more of a safety asset. Because again, many of those out there that, you know, retirees and things like that would prefer not to be in the market, right? But they've been forced into it. And that is something that you have to, you know, focus on. I think we saw some decent movement last week in the grain markets, although wheat and soybeans were a little bit lower. They both have broken out and look like they're just now searching for new support levels. I think that, you know, corn continues, but I would not be surprised to see a little bit more selling, this week. I think that, you know, you want to actually, you'd like to see a little bit of a sell-off. I think that gives you a better base to be a buyer. And that is something that, you know, we look for is, you know, where do we get the best charge? You know, it's always tough to either buy or sell a market, you know, when it should go the other way. And I think that, you know, the equities, I believe if the equities are going to break out to the upside, I think that they will pull back first and find some new support. I think if they break out right away, it's probably a better opportunity to sell them. You know, it's kind of typical when you see how the markets act and how the markets, what their market reactions are. I think that gives us a better idea and a better identity to, you know, what is going to happen next. But we are still in this really wide consolidation, sweeping pattern. So far, they've done exactly what we thought they would do. And now it's, you know, what happens from here. And that is always the big story is, you know, what do we look at from here? And again, the jobs number, you would have expected some heavy selling based on how good the headline number was. But of course, once again, underneath the surface, the number was not as good as one would think. So, which just created a more of a rally because it keeps the cheap money flowing in. The buybacks are exploding again, and this is the, believe it or not, this is the biggest amount of buybacks in history next to 2007 and 2008. Now again, you know, we refer to history because markets do repeat themselves, patterns do repeat themselves. So, you know, is it something that's going to be today? And again, there's no way to know that. You know, again, you have to wait for a clue, a signal, which the markets will definitely give you. And then we'll, you know, be able to track and track from there. But in the meantime, you know, we're going to continue to watch and evaluate and see if there's going to be any more fallout from the tariffs and from the Gary Cohn resigning and, you know, the other things that are going on. So, you know, that's really more of the story. And, you know, we got to see how it starts to play before we get too aggressive and make a decision. Again, sometimes there's times to be aggressive, or as I like to say, there's times to fish and there's time to cut bait. And I think right now we should be cutting bait, looking for the markets to identify themselves. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you about highschoolinvesting.com. If you want to help us out, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And you can help us educate our youth. And of course, you must download The Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And don't forget to get the Sporting Edge and Crypto Investor X on the weekends. But yeah, if you go to libertytalk.fm, you can download the show and help us reach our goal of 1 million downloads a month. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to come back with Jane King after the break. Yeah. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
All right, boys, follow me.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the unbelievably talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And boy, it's been so long since I talked to you. What's up, Jane King?
I know. Well, you were like, where were you, on a cruise or like, you know, I'm sure someplace very warm and awesome.
It was warm and awesome, but a little bit too long for my taste, but it was nice. You know, it was on a huge boat like with 9,000 people. I mean, you know, what the...
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
It was fun, but it was too long. I was ready to get a plane out of Puerto Rico when we went to that port, I'll tell you the truth.
Okay.
But anyway, so what's going on, Jane King? What do you think of this whole tariff thing and all this nonsense? What's your take?
Well, I grew up in an agriculture town, and I grew up in a manufacturing town. So I've seen what's happened. So there was a big steel plant in Cocoa, Indiana. Continental Steel went out of business, I think, in the 80s. And I've seen what that does to an economy. I mean, that building's still sitting there. I mean, it's just, you know, I see what it does to families. I see what it does to the psychology of a place. So I do understand what he's talking about. What I don't, you know, and again, you know, I'm going to pick on the media again, but I hear them, you know, talking about tariffs and you know, and free trade, and we're supporting free trade. And so, but it wasn't free trade. I mean, it was, so I think as long as you have playing field level, I mean, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see these things like, you know, 20% here and we sell it there at a discount and then flooding the market. And that's all got to be cleaned up and straightened out. And once that all happens, then we're going to have a much more free market economy with trade.
I hope so, because obviously, you know, I don't believe we're in a free market right now. I think we're in a manipulated market. But I want to ask you something. Now, again, you are from a farming town. Your family is farmers. And of course, the big discussion about NAFTA. Now, NAFTA in concept is very good, but NAFTA in actual reality is not very good, in my opinion. What are your thoughts? Tell me where I'm right or I'm wrong.
Well, I think I'm a little nervous what's going to happen to soybean farmers with some of this talk about trade tariffs and so forth. So China's a huge buyer of soybeans, and that's fairly new thing. I mean, 15, 20 years, maybe that's been going on, certainly in the past 10 to 15. So, you know, that's one area where China buys a lot of our stuff. And if they want to, you know, be jerks about it, that's where they're going to do it. So I'm a little nervous about what that could mean for my family and my inheritance, too, frankly. You know, what are you going to do? They need the soybeans, but I know they're also could buy from South America as well. So I think, you know, if we just kind of ride it out. I mean, the farmers are flexible. They have a ways of adapting to things. They're frugal, which is always helpful. You can kind of get through these things when you don't have a ton of debt or, you know, a ton of other things going on. So I think it'll all work out, but it's, you know, I think agriculture could end up on the short end of the stick with all this going on, which is interesting because they were huge supporters of Trump.
Do you think, I think they'll end up fine. See, again, this is where I don't think NAFTA was a very good deal the way it was written. And I agree with Trump there that it was not a fair trade deal. And, you know, I've had some experience with it. But, you know, China has been buying soybeans long before 15, 20 years ago. They've been buying soybeans, you know, when I first started in 1980, you know, every time they needed the market to rally, China's buying soybeans.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, I actually remember them. There was a rumor that they were going to buy, you know, this huge amount of soybeans and they'd be limit up on the day. And then they go, no, we're going to buy half that and just knock the heck out of the market and then buy them in lower price. Right. They really knew how to play the U.S. markets. So I remember learning that very early.
I mean, it's just, again, I'm a fan of the trade and I just think it needs to be fair, which I think is what Trump wants. I think that's better for everybody. Even
absolutely. I don't get, like, I've noticed this in the entire coverage of him and almost everything he does. Like, they'd be like, oh, he's anti-trade. It's like, he's not anti-trade. He's never said that. Or they call him a protectionist. He's not a protectionist. He just wants things more fair. I mean, people, like, they can't, it's like black or white. You can't see the nuance in there just to renegotiate these things. I mean, these are supposedly some of the smartest, most educated people, you know, in America, and they can't quite grasp these big ideas. So I don't know.
No, that's because they're not very smart. That they're smart when it comes to books, right? Well, look, listen. You're an entrepreneur. You're in business for yourself. You have a lot of stuff going on. You have a lot on your plate. Two kids, a whole big mess going on, right? But you have to be able to adjust on the fly. You can't. Everything you do is not written in a book. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, what's worked for me is, first of all, it's just hard work. It's just, you know, you got to put in the hours. I don't know how else to do it. And know your industry. Like, you just got to really know your industry, because if you don't, especially TV, I mean, it's just such a hard industry to break into. And if you don't know it, you're just turned. And just think about the customer. You know, there have been things, tweaks along the way that, you know, some of my clients have said, hey, you know, could you do this? Could you do that? And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And, you know, and I never, like, grumbled at it. I always do it. I always make it easier on them. So, because they're the ones who pay your bills. So just, you know, it takes a lot of stamina. I mean, when I started this business, you know, I prayed for stamina. That's so far so good. Wait,
you got it. But, I mean, you are full of stamina. I know. But, I just go back to that, you know, the academia has never performed well because they don't have any way to adjust. It's like it's written. This is the plan. This is the way it's written. And this is the way we have to do it. When you and I both know from being in business for ourselves that you have to be able to adjust on the fly. It's like if your car breaks down, you're on the way to a trip, you have to know what to do, right? I mean, and that's the problem. And you, especially from the farming industry, those guys, they didn't have manuals out when they were driving those tractors out and they broke down, did they?
Well, no. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, it rains all of a sudden, and you got to adjust to that. I mean, well, you know, I think on my gravestone, I'm going to have written, I'll figure it out. Because I think I've said that more in the past 4 years than I've said just about anything. It's like, okay, my computer doesn't work, and my software is not allowing me to download videos and edit. Well, I'll figure it out somehow. And so I'll carry around 3 computers until it gets fixed. So you just, you know... you have to kind of, and if you do good work on a consistent basis, a mistake here and there isn't such a big deal. People understand things break or whatever, stuff happens. But you really have to be a consistent performer, or people start to lose faith in you.
And that's, of course, right. And, of course, you being the consistent performer you are back in the podcasting business, and you and I are both into educating, because we want these kids to be more aware and better equipped to handle the economy than the people that we have in there now. So what's going on with the podcasting world, my dear?
Okay, so yeah, back in full force, we took kind of a little hiatus there because things got really busy. But so I'm going to be talking to these two young singers, and I know their names, but they're complicated, and so I'll just wait and announce this later. But they wrote a book about being millennial, being in debt, what I wish I would have learned. They're awesome. So their music's going to be on the podcast, so that's going to be great. There's also, get this, a summer camp about financial literacy. Camp Moolah is the name of it. So I'm going to talk to the lady who was the founder of that, and she's like right in there with us. So she'd be perfect, like, feels exactly as we do. And then I'm also going to talk to a professor at Notre Dame about Latina women and just, you know, what they need to learn about finances and what they feel like they're lacking because they're behind when they graduate high school and college. So those are the three we got lined up. And the real big deal is April, and that's when you're in New York. We're going to do one together. We can just talk, you and I. We don't need a guest.
100%. I think it'd be great because, again, you know how important it is. And I think a lot of the issues that we do have in this economy today are because we've never educated kids from the beginning. And that's something that you learned at a very young age on the farm, is you have to be able to understand what to do. And I think that's one of the big deals, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the farm teaches you a lot, like really, really learned the value of a dollar. Now, my parents lived it. I don't live it as good as they do, but I do live it better than many people.
Well, you know, listen, it's harder now because the dollars don't go as far, even though it feels like we're making more money. We're really not. But Jane King, the best, the genius of the Bubba Show, and we always love having you on. And Lila Max Media and the Kaching Report, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. Thanks, Todd. Great to talk to you.
And Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Kitching Report, who joins us every week. And of course, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, we did talk a little bit about financial literacy with Jane, and we're going to go to New York and do a podcast with her. But in the meantime, don't forget about our high school investing program, where we're trying to help educate our youth. And if you'd like to participate and help us out, all you have to do is go to Patreon, Patreon.com. /Bubba Trading and give us a hand. And of course, don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And this is this week being March Madness. Make sure you get the Sporting Edge on the weekends at the same libertytalk.fm. And don't forget to get Bubba's daily update, which is available to you free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. You sign up for it, and every day I'll email you a video as to what I saw, what I think is going to happen the next day. And, of course, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be back with more and Matt Demeter after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. Of course, Matt, you know, we all remember the Jamie Dimon, Bitcoin is crap, cryptos is done, it's my guys are not allowed to invest in it, but the whole deal. And all of a sudden, out comes a little news bulletin that that JP Morgan gets the game with crypto report for asset managers, and they can now start to invest in that. So what happened with the Jamie Dimon and crew? Now all of a sudden they can now invest in them a little bit.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, their clients, I would assume that their clients were asking for this stuff and they pretty much had no choice. So, I mean, I'm sure that would be his excuse for that happening. I mean, they got to cater to their clients, right? So, no, it makes sense. And then also in terms of Goldman Sachs, I mean, they are a big investor in Circle. And Circle just bought Poloniex. So they're getting in on the – I think what they're trying – what Goldman Sachs is trying to do is, you know, get into the institutional – create an institutional exchange where you know, more of their money can go in. And I think JP Morgan would be stupid not to, you know, get in the game as well. So it makes sense.
No, I mean, again, I believe Goldman, even though they were poo-pooing it forever, were involved all the way from the beginning anyways. You know, again, these guys are pretty sharp, right? We'd have to assume they're the sharpest guys in the room, and they don't miss much. And they may talk a game about how it's a Ponzi scheme and how it's going to explode, but they don't miss out because they've got very intelligent clients as well that want to make sure that they don't miss these type of investments. Because again, this is an investment, as you mentioned earlier today, just like a stock that, you know, a penny stock or any stock. I mean, look, look what happened to General Electric. I mean, you know, this stock was a high flyer and was the one everybody had to own, and now nobody wants it. So, I mean, it can happen with anything. It doesn't have to be because it's a cryptocurrency, right?
Right. No, I mean, the crypto space, it's like the internet back in, you know, the 90s. I mean, would you not want to be involved in internet stocks? I mean, this is a new revolution in technology, and if you want to, you know, you got to be part of it. So it totally makes sense that they're getting into it, and that they have to have people that are interested in, you know, Jamie Dimon has to have people at his company saying this is the next big thing. You cannot, you know, not be in it. So
no, I mean, again, it goes back to exactly what you said, which is the internet bubble. You know, the internet bubble popped, but look at it today. I mean, today it's, you know, look at Amazon. I mean, Amazon was almost out of business as a bookstore. And now they're going to be, they got the richest man in the world running that company now. So, you know, it's just something that, you know, we all hate change. And I think that's one of the big things. And I think this is why you're starting to see a lot of third world nations now adopt cryptocurrencies as their currency. And again, I think that that's just the start, don't you?
I think it's just the start, too. I mean, I think it will start with some of these, you know, the smaller ones like the Marshall Islands. And then I guess, what was it, Barbados is getting into something as well. And then there were, I think, was it Somalia was doing elections based on blockchain. So, I mean, maybe I have that one wrong. But
no, you're right. You got it right. It's all right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, when countries start to adopt this is a mainstay currency and they abandon their garbage. I mean, I think that this tells you a little bit about the market, and it goes back to what you were saying, that this is just the infancy of like the internet. And of course it's a new form of technology. And again, I don't understand it at all, but I know you understand much more, but again, it's going to be real. And you know, you've got too many governments trying to step in, but yet they really haven't slowed the pace down. Right.
Right. And, you know, that's the one thing that I kind of have a lot of faith in is that governments are slow. And these, you know, technology companies, these technology organizations that are behind crypto, they move fast. I mean, they're if you think about it, like human organizations, they are probably the most adaptable organizations on Earth. They just evolve faster than anything else. And the government can do what they want. They're so bureaucratic and so slow and so stupid that let them try, you know, they're going to make attempts to shoot this stuff down, but they're just not fast enough to be able to do it. They'll adapt. And if in the United States, we make things too difficult, then the innovation will move elsewhere. And then we'll push them to another jurisdiction. So, but they'll continue to exist. It's a worldwide exchanges, and you know, that's where they operate. So, we could do that, and just it would be our own loss, really.
No, I agree with you. I mean, again, we're both on the same page that, you know, again, and I was a non-believer, so I'm a convert. Unfortunately, I should have converted in 2009, but I didn't. But in the meantime, I mean, you know, it's a evolving world that, you know, more and more companies are getting into it, and some major companies are now using them as, you know, we talk about the difference between utility coins and the different types of setups. But I see that it's going to be more and more and more. And I guess, when do you think the first major company will go public, like with an ICO?
I would think next year, probably. 2019, probably, you know, second half. But by then, I think, you know, there might be some regulatory framework around it. A major company is not going to want to take a risk by, you know, they can handle the current regulations with doing an IPO and being a publicly traded stock. So I think, you know, it'll take a little while longer.
Okay. I mean, but do you think that, you know, for example, even sometimes when these companies go for a secondary, do you think that instead of the secondary, they might offer an ICO to raise capital? I mean, is that a possibility as you see it as well?
Yeah, I think, you know, that I think is very possible. Somebody launches a coin as it's just, you know, there's is connecting the token to the equity that's important in that situation. And, there's people working on that right now. And in fact, I think there's going to be, you know, there's going to be a tight linkage between a legal linkage made between tokens and, you know, coins and, you know, equity in a company. I think that'll happen this year. I don't know if, you know, you'll see it on a, you know, major stock exchange just yet, but it's happening.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely happening. And again, it's something that works out. Now, you know, you and I have talked about IOTA in the past, and I'm just curious. I know I read something about it. I forgot what I read about it, but it was the developer of IOTA or whatever, and there were some issues going on. What's your thoughts looking at IOTA from now?
With IOTA, I think that, you know, they've been kind of unfairly bashed by a variety of other groups that have competing projects. And You know, it's hard to know which side is right in terms of, you know, these groups saying that IOTA has security weaknesses and so forth. But then IOTA's come back and said, well, you know, make it very clear what they are, and, you know, we'll address it, and we'll say, you know, okay, you know, we have egg on our face, we'll fix it, and you were right. And the other side, it's just kind of a mess. But personally, I think that IOTA is a very interesting project, and that it could upset many of these blockchain type competitors because they're non-blockchain, and I think they may have some interesting technology in there.
And I mean, it is partially owned or backed by Microsoft, is it not?
It's not partially owned or backed by Microsoft, but they do have a partnership in a sense that they have a data marketplace, and in that sense they're partnered with Microsoft. So IOTA created a data marketplace, and it's some of the partners in there. Microsoft is one, Volkswagen is another. Volkswagen is more tied in with IOTA. And I think they may have actually invested in some IOTA. And Bosch Group, which is a big auto parts manufacturer, has invested in IOTA. So those are two big votes of confidence. I don't believe the same thing is true about Microsoft, but they do. Microsoft is pretty open to, you know, working with IOTA and other, you know, other groups that can facilitate the Internet of Things, like the, you know, there's a few other cryptos out there that Internet of Things could enable.
Okay, I mean, again, it's interesting. You know, you hear more and more big companies getting involved, which just lends more and more credibility to what's going on. And have you had the opportunity, or have you decided to trade any of these futures that are on the exchanges?
The futures on cryptocurrencies?
Yeah.
No, there's been a few, and they, you know, I have been tempted to do it, but I need, from a technical point of view, I need longer trading histories, and usually the futures start. Are we talking about Bitcoin futures, or are we talking about futures on other cryptos?
Either, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You know, so there's some exchanges that do futures on, like, Filecoin is an IPO, or sorry, an ICO that's coming out. It's probably sometime this year, as far as coming out on the coin being traded publicly. And they have futures trading on an exchange, but it's usually very thin liquidity, and they can get really, really volatile. As far as Bitcoin futures, yes, actually, I do want to trade it from the short. I want to trade Bitcoin futures from the short side as a hedge to a crypto portfolio. All I really wanted is I want it for a hedge against,
gotcha,
you know, an overall portfolio. Yeah.
This is Crypto Invest. This is the Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz. We are with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm every day and download the Bubba Show. And, of course, don't forget to get the Sporting Edge on the weekends with March Madness here. And we'll be back with more from Matt after the break. The Bubba Show. Ty Bubba Horowitz. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com, and we're here talking about the markets. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the crypto world, but of course, the other markets are also indeed involved and are busy. And we had quite a week last week, which you kind of projected that the markets might go a little bit higher, and of course, they did. What's your take now? I know that we're very close to some of your resistance, and of course, the Nasdaq broke above that one resistance. It looks like it may be headed to 8,000. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, new highs in the Nasdaq. So that was pretty cool. I think it could continue up to 8,000, but in the medium term. But I think in the short term, it's going to run into resistance at about 7,685, 7,690, right in there. So I would say, you know, it's not far off now. So I think sometime, you know, this week we're going to hit that level, and then we're going to see a reversal. And, you know, I'm looking at the same stuff in the S&P and in the NYSE. So I think early this week we're going to see a pop up, and then we're going to hit resistance fairly early. And then we'll see. I mean, who knows about the timing? Maybe we'll go down first and then go up. But I think more likely what happens is early this week we get a little more upside, and then we get another sell-off. How deep that sell-off is, I can't tell right now. I think it could go as low as the February 9th lows. It could be significant. So if we've been had a little more long exposure. We're going to take that off early this week.
Okay. I know that, you know, we've been watching, and of course, one of the big things we've been watching, and I think, you know, obviously one of the big competitors, I think, that compete for dollars against cryptocurrencies is gold. And gold has been kind of languishing and now towards the lower end of what I would call a consolidation pattern again. And I think it's a pretty key week for gold as to whether it breaks to the downside and then it goes much lower, or if it does indeed try to break out to the upside and can go for that around 1400 that you were looking for. If it did break out, what are your thoughts of gold right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just in this big chop, and but I think more likely it continues to respect a pattern that would shoot it up to almost 1400 at this point. It's a declining resistance target, still right around 1400, just maybe slightly below. But yeah, I think that's where it's going. And you know, it could go one of two ways, really. Obviously, that's always the case, up or down. But the thing is that with silver, the commercial short position is so light, it's very bullishly set up. And gold is sort of the opposite. It's a little more, the commercials are already quite short gold. So you would think you get a bearish outcome for gold and a bullish outcome for silver. That doesn't usually happen at the same time. So either they have to go up first or down first, but I think they're going to go up. I think they're going to go up first. So I think we'll see a 1400 in gold, and I think we'll, you know, probably get into the 18s and at least in silver, and that before we see a reversal.
Now, from reading your report on DemeterResearch.com, I learned that the commercials are now massively short the VIX futures and have made a lot of money on the short side now. What is your take from that? I know that report comes out on Tuesday, so you know we're a little bit ahead, we're a little bit delayed on what we the information we have. But obviously, it was an interesting ploy, and of course, it worked out pretty well for them as the VIX went from, I think, 17 to 14 in 3 days. What's your take?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, they going into that this past Tuesday, they they built up a record VIX short position, and you know, like you said, over the following 3 days, you know, the VIX really fell quite a bit, you know, like you had 3 or 4 points. So at this point, I think they've probably covered a lot of those shorts. They've made a good profit. I don't know if they're yet neutral, you know, because it was a very big short position. But once they do get neutral to long VIX again, then you know, I think we'll see a move back back up in volatility, and you know, down for stocks. The option prices are suggesting that VIX calls are underpriced compared to puts.
So you would think that they would probably start accumulating some VIX futures here in the next couple of days, especially if it ties into your thought of the marketer, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, I think that we're going to, the VIX will drop back a little bit further. They'll get a chance to cover a lot more, you know, shorts, and then volatility can rise again. Yeah.
Now it looks like oil is continuing to churn, but it did break 60 last week. And, you know, we did have a big rally on Friday. And to me, that was more of a short covering rally. And it looks to me like we're just winding deeper and deeper in congestion. It looks like it's going to break out one or the other. I believe it's going to break to the downside. But I think you still believe that 66 or 68 or whatever number is going to hit before it starts to go down lower again. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I have this rising target, and the longer we don't hit it, the more I'm, you know, concerned about. We maybe don't need to hit it. That's the thing. We got so close I forget what the date was, January 25th, that we got so close that I don't know if it actually needs to be hit anymore. I think maybe that was close enough. But that target right now is right around 69 even. So, I wouldn't rule that out. But I also, you know, over the longer term, medium term, and longer term, I'm bearish.
You know, it may be an omen. You know, the high was 66.66, kind of like the low on the S&P was 666. Right. It could be an omen that oil is going back to $10.
I you know, over the long run, I do think it's going back down to, you know, 10, 20 bucks. And so we're just going to stay short. But if we get up to 69, which I think is going to be would be tough for it, but I think it's possible, then I'll, you know, we'll short more at 69.
No, I get that. I mean, like, it makes a lot of sense. It's just, it's interesting how, you know, how sometimes the numbers work, and you know, we watch these patterns, and, you know, I think that the dollar, now here's one of my thoughts. Now, this isn't doing anything with what you do as a technical trader, but, you know, I think the dollar has gotten close and has failed a couple of times trying to break out, but I do think it's going to break out. But I also think that the Fed and the central banks are trying to suppress that dollar because it does actually artificially keep interest rates low because of obviously global borrowing. And I think that, to me, it looks like the dollar is getting ready to pop and break through 91, and looks like it could be off to the races. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the pattern I'm seeing in the dollar, as long as it holds basically 80, then I think it's going up, or 88. As long as it holds 88, then I think we're going up to, I have a target at 124. So that's a huge move. And then that's just the big picture. So as long as 88 is held to the downside, then I think, you know, that's you know, by default, my target high.
Well, you know, you had a target high in the euro currency a while back, and I kind of scoffed at it because it broke from there. But of course, we've now reached and hit your target in the euro currency as well. And I think you believe now it's probably at a top, or if not close, and you would be probably a seller euro currency here.
Yeah, we got as high as the 125s, which is even a little bit further than I thought it would go. but I think I do think we're near a top. And the commercials, you know, the big banks, they think so too. I mean, they're heavily, heavily short the euro, as short as they're at a record short position. So, I mean, everything's lined up for euro weakness and dollar strength. So I'm with you on that, and that's what I expect. We're long dollar, we're short euro.
And what is your take of the treasury bonds now? If the banks are short euro currency, that would probably indicate they're short bonds as well, because they're short euro currency because I believe they think the dollar is going higher, and they also think that the rates are going to go higher, which would be a positive for the dollar and a negative for the euro currency, and so obviously a negative for the bonds. Are they carrying any position in bonds right now?
They are. That's what's odd about that. They're long. They're pretty heavily long the 10-year, and they're also. But you know, it's not the short end, so it's hard to, you know, as far as the dollar goes, it's, you know, maybe a little bit off. But they're very long the 10-year, and they're moderately long the 30-year. So on the long end of the curve, they're thinking the rates are going to drop, and I think that might just be more. Look, if the market. We've had a little bit of change up. Like if we do get, you know, serious market weakness, stock market weakness, then, you know, there's going to be some rush back to treasuries. I don't know, you know, it's going to be an odd thing. Like if it's rates that cause if rates going up cause a stock market sell-off, does that then reverse it and bring people in, you know?
I agree. I do think that's going to be the case. I mean, my black swan is the yield rising and the dollar rising, and then all of a sudden it reverses because everybody gets afraid. But of course, that's it for today. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz with Matt Demeter of DemeterResearch.com. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a good day, everybody. See you later.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.